Precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it. Proverbs 21:20 teaches that God's people are to save, but there's more to it than that, and there's more to it than that than just money in the bank. Having a plan for saving makes it far more likely you'll actually put money aside, and for the right reasons. Today, financial planner and teacher Rob West tells us what goes into a successful savings plan. Then we'll take your calls and questions on anything financial, 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore, setting savings goals. That's next right here on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, the Bible makes it clear that Christians should save, but it's not just about saving for saving's own sake, right?
Well, that's exactly right, Steve. Obviously, it's wise to save a portion of what God provides for us. We don't always know what the future holds, and we need to prepare for it. But it's also important to know what we're saving for, and it's certainly not just to accumulate wealth.
Okay. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of a savings plan, what exactly are we saving for?
Well, any number of things. First, you need to have an emergency fund. We talk about that often, and certainly we've seen the wisdom of that in the uncertain times we're in. We would typically say to 3 to 6 months living expenses. That would cover a job loss, maybe a medical condition that prevents you from earning income, or a pandemic. You should also be saving to purchase your next car. At some point, you want to be able to buy that car with cash, and that would, of course, avoid you paying any interest on the loan. You also want to perhaps save for a down payment on a home, your child's education, and of course that longer-term goal of retirement, even though we might approach that a little differently as believers. Other things to save for may include a remodeling project or even a vacation, and I think it's nice to also set something aside for unplanned giving as well.
Yeah, okay. So those are some great things that we want to save for. How do we go about setting goals to get there?
Well, achieving a goal requires two things, of course, action and time. So for each savings goal, you need to determine the amount you want to save and then set a deadline for achieving that goal. That keeps you motivated. Now, the length of time, of course, will vary for different savings goals. Your emergency fund might take a couple of years to complete, a new car or down payment on a house, probably a few more than that. A child's education and retirement, much longer timeline. But the important thing is to set a specific amount and a date by which you want to have that much saved. That's just a good practice whenever you're setting a goal. So an example might be you want to have $50,000 saved for education by the time your newborn heads off to college. And by the way, a 529 education savings plan is the best way to do that.
Yeah, well, that makes sense, but there's probably a bit more to it than just that.
Indeed, there is. Now that you have your long-range plan for each of your savings goals, you probably want to break it down into what I'll call bite-sized bits. That means setting a monthly savings goal for each. You simply take the total amount you want saved for each item and divide it by the number of months until the deadline. That gives you the amount you have to save each month to achieve each goal. No plan is perfect, and you'll probably encounter financial setbacks along the way. So you have to prioritize your goals and allocate your available funds accordingly. Mm-hmm. If you fall behind in one area, you may be able to catch up in another later.
Yeah, so 1 month may be a little short, and you have to decide which items get preferential treatment, huh?
Yeah, that's right. But at the same time, it's important to always be on the lookout for extra money you might have sloshing around in your budget. Maybe you've allocated too much for gasoline. Gas prices are really low right now. Yeah. I know a lot of people are getting a rebate on a portion of their homeowner's insurance or car insurance right now. So you could reallocate some of those funds into your savings goals.
Yeah, great. All right, anything else?
Well, now you want to put all of this into action. So the best way to do that is to set up automatic savings. Money for shorter-term goals should be automatically transferred into your savings account. Money for longer-term goals might go into a specific account, like a 529 plan or a qualified retirement account for when you can no longer work. You want to set those contributions up so they happen automatically, and you don't have to think about them each month.
Okay. That's a lot, what we've just talked through. Of course, we're talking about most of your lifetime to accomplish these things, but still, you need to keep track of things, some details, right?
Well, you most certainly do, Steve. This is very biblical, and you'll want to set up a system for tracking your savings, a simple ledger. You could also use any number of free apps to automate your savings and keep track of your progress. We're seeing a lot more of these lately. Some folks even set up individual savings accounts for each category. It's a bit of work in the beginning, but then it makes it very easy to monitor your progress toward those goals.
Okay. And we have some resources that can help you with these kinds of things. Check us out online, moneywiselive.org. We'll be right back.
Attention, MoneyWise Live listeners. If you don't like free stuff, please change the station now. Still with us? Great. You can get free access today to the new MoneyWise e-magazine, packed with valuable expert articles, practical tips, and biblical wisdom. You'll even find exclusive podcast episodes you won't hear anywhere else. Your MoneyWise e-magazine subscription is waiting for you at moneywiselive.org/signup.
If you need investing guidance, you probably want help that's grounded in God's Word. That's the approach taken by Sound Mind Investing. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire wisdom and confidence in their investing. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a good and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available online at soundmindinvesting.org.
Is Jesus transforming you? In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John have been arrested and are on trial. But when the officials saw their boldness and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Maybe you feel totally inadequate with the circumstances where God has placed you. You want others to see Jesus in you, even in this difficult circumstance, but it's just so hard. Peter and John lived out their faith in front of their accusers. So, how were they able to share Jesus so powerfully? They spent time in the presence of Jesus. Are you actively sharing the good news of Jesus with those around you? Spend time with Jesus. Who knows? You might just astonish those around you. I'm Aaron Paulus, Communications Director for Life Action Ministries for OneCry.com.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Hey, really great to have you along today on MoneyWise Live. We've been talking about setting some savings goals, what they're all about, how you do that. In the past, Rob, we would tell people you should really ideally have 3 to 6 months of living expenses set aside. And most people, and we totally understand it, most people would say, oh, that's crazy. How will I ever set aside 3 to 6 months? And do I really need that much? But as you pointed out, during this COVID situation, lots of people who were able to do that are finding that living is just a little bit less tense because of it, huh?
Well, that's exactly right. And, we're hearing from folks saying just that. We got a great email from a listener named Cliff the other day, Steve, and he said, I've been out of work for 2 months because of COVID-19, but because I listen to the program every day during my one-hour commute on the way home, I was ready for it. And obviously a key part of that was having those reserves in place to be able to weather a storm like this. You know, if you have 6 months runway to be able to weather a storm and get on the other side of a temporary disruption in income, boy, that goes a long way to being able to maintain your expenses and not having unnecessary challenges during that time.
But at the same time, Rob, we're well aware that this really has blindsided thousands of people. Many people have lost their jobs that never would have considered that being a situation. We were talking about the Hertz rental car company filing for bankruptcy. And I'm thinking of the tens of thousands of employees who may have been doing wonderful work, but still in all, they're going to lose their jobs. And how do we deal with that kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, Steve, there's no doubt. I mean, it's just a real challenging situation. Certain sectors have just been decimated, and we realize there's real people and real jobs on the other end of that, and it's just heartbreaking to see. But I think the opportunity here is to recognize that God is on the throne. He is your provider. That's why we follow his principles. We don't know what's coming our way, and yet we can trust him. And, you know, we're certainly asking our MoneyWise listeners to be praying for all those affected by this as they're out there looking for new jobs. The good news is that the economy seems to be in a very strong position, certainly was going into this. We're in a very resilient spot, and I think it'll bounce back quickly, and hopefully there'll be plenty of jobs for people that are in that position.
Yeah, and if God has allowed you to be in a fairly comfortable and secure position, look around. Ask God, who do you want me to help? Where can I help? Where can I step in? Whether it's your church or just your neighbors, and maybe, you know, actually ask, is there anything I can do for you? Is there any help that you need? And here's a wonderful opportunity to perhaps share Christ that we never may have never had before. So take advantage of this. Don't waste this once-in-a-lifetime chance, and let's hope it's once-in-a-lifetime. So with that said, let's take some calls, 800-525-7000. Anything financial that you're wondering about, let's talk about it, 800-525-7000. We have open lines. Miami, Florida, Miguel, thanks for calling in, sir. What's on your mind?
Hi. Hi. So long story short, housing prices here are insane. I called about a 3-2. It was pretty big. It was a two-car garage with a pool over 2,000 square foot, but they wanted like $500,000. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, so basically, I'm 28 years old, about to turn 29. I'm going to be a first-time buyer. You know, I like to play it safe. So for my first home, I wanted to go as affordable as possible. So basically, I wanted to stay under 200. For that, if I wanted to get like a 2-2 or a 3-2, it would have to be a condo or an apartment, something along those lines. But then I noticed that manufactured homes with the land, I could get like a 3-2 for even cheaper, or you know, cheaper about the same price. So my question is, what, you know, would you recommend is a better option? The manufactured homes come with the land, you know, condos don't. But obviously, you know, generally speaking, condos and apartments go up in value more than manufactured homes. You know, manufactured homes might not even go up, so.
Sure. And that's what I would key off of. You know, buying a manufactured home, Miguel, may seem like a more affordable option, but there are some drawbacks. I mean, certainly your equity would often grow slower with a manufactured home and really could be wiped out entirely if the home, if homes depreciate in value, because it's more likely to happen with a manufactured home. Also, you're going to run into challenges with mortgage lenders, perhaps. Many avoid financing manufactured homes, and so as a result, the loans that are made for manufactured homes often are at higher interest rates than you'd find on conventional homes. So there's an additional cost there. So I think I would just be cautious about jumping at that. Factor in the total implications of that, not just the original purchase price. And you may find that just based on the trends and how these homes will tend to appreciate, you're probably going to be better off buying a condo down there in South Florida. I realize what you're saying is very real, that housing prices are up significantly, especially in that part of the country. And so that's where I think a condo may be your best option. But do your homework. I wouldn't automatically rule out a manufactured home. I would just consider these other options.
Does that work for you, Miguel?
Yeah, one last little thing, if I can squeeze it in.
Sure.
Regarding HOA fees, I've noticed that the manufactured homes that come with the land, the HOA fees are under $100. Now, the HOA fees with the condos and the apartments, you know, obviously some are crazy, but, you know, you can get them between $300 or $400. Sure. Now, I've been told that insurance is included in that. You know, I don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, that's just an additional cost that, you know, some, you know, you have to take into consideration.
Well, you bring up a great point here, and you've got to factor this in. Again, as you're looking at all the different options, what is it going to take for me to finance it? What are the HOA fees? What about appreciation? And you can go back and look at trends. How have these manufactured homes appreciated versus condos in the similar area that you're looking at? And a realtor could help you analyze all of that just to see, when you look at all of these factors, which is going to be most cost effective. But you're exactly right. A lot of it's going to depend upon the amenities and the size of the property that you're getting into with the condo. But $200 to $300 a month is not atypical when it comes to the average HOA fee. And so I think, you know, you've got to factor that in.
Yeah. Miguel, great questions, and we wish you well as you work through this. Thanks very much. Indianapolis, hello, Don. What's your situation?
Hi, I'm just curious your opinion on tithing. I'm a tither, and if it matters on the gross or the net.
Yeah, it's a great question, Dawn. You know, as we approach the principle of the tithe, we have to go back and say, what was the original intent? Obviously, there was multiple tithes, but when we talk about a tithe, we're talking about a word that literally means a tenth. And so we start there. We recognize that it was on the increase. And so, you know, as we think about an agricultural society, I mean, often that tithe was on produce or, you know, what was the yield of the farmer in that particular time. In this case, we would say, what is our increase? And essentially the equivalent of that would be that which is coming into us, our provision. So for me, when we look at the increase, it was always given on the first and the best. And so I would approach that based on the gross amount. What is the provision that's coming into me? I give first right off the top out of a recognition of God's ownership. It's a recognition of his provision. It's an act of worship. And in doing so, you're giving right off the top back to the Lord. And so that would be my approach. Ultimately, this is not about checking a box or taking a legalistic approach. So I think you need to pray through that and come to your own conviction on it. You know, the late Larry Burkett, Steve, you know, used to say, well, it comes down to whether or not you want to be blessed gross or net. And that was kind of his tongue-in-cheek way of saying we can't outgive God. But I think at the end of the day, my approach would be right off the top.
Yeah. Don,
great
question.
You're
thank you. All right. God bless. Rob, we had a caller who couldn't stay with us, but they had a question about co-signing for her daughter. I had it here. Okay. The daughter needs a co-signer for a rental agreement. I presume it's for an apartment. She says, how do I go about doing that in a way that will protect myself if something goes wrong? She has bad credit. I have good credit, which obviously is why the daughter needs the co-signer. We know that God's word doesn't say much good about co-signing, but how can a parent help in a situation like this and still protect themselves?
Well, the bottom line is, you're right. The God's word doesn't speak favorably about co-signing. It's actually pretty strong language about why you shouldn't do that. And the data backs it up. One in two people who co-sign for another will end up needing to step in and provide assistance. And the reason is because if you're in a situation where you need a co-signer, it's often, if not in the vast majority of cases, for good reason, because they've either not demonstrated their ability to manage their finances well, they don't have the financial means, they're under pressure with other debts or encumbrances. And so, you know, ultimately the only way to approach this is A, not to do it, which I realize could put your daughter in a difficult spot, having to pay more or perhaps delay a move or a purchase because she needs to save more, or B, make sure that you are ready, willing, and able to step in, and you make that decision on the front end in the event that something happens, to protect your own credit, but also, and I would say even more important than that, to protect the relationship. Because the collateral damage that often happens in these situations is not financial, it's relational, where there's an expectation that somebody's going to do something, they're unable to do it. Perhaps you believe it's because they haven't made wise choices. Nevertheless, you're having to step in, and then there's hard feelings. So I would say either avoid it altogether or on the front end, be ready, willing, and able to step in the event your daughter cannot.
Great answer. Thank you very much, Rob. And if you have a question today for Rob West, now's a good time to call. We have open lines at 800-525-7000. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it, Proverbs 27:12. This is MoneyWise Live, and we'll be right back.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
Turn with me to the Gospel of John 18:3. I want to show you another place that exactly the same word instrument is used and how it is translated. Douglas Moo says, "Not parts of the physical body per se out of our lives, but it's like natural abilities and gifts and capabilities." All right, John 18:3 says this. It's "So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons." That last word, weapons, is the same word that is translated instruments in Romans chapter 6. Some of the commentators say there's no parallel to that whatsoever. Others of them, and some of the ones that I love to study the most, disagree with that and say that there is a very, very intentional nuance that's being added there in military overtones. And if that is correct, then Paul is saying this: don't let sin take command of any part of your body and use it as a weapon for evil purposes. Use it as a weapon for evil purposes. See, the thing about it is the enemy can no longer have us on his team. But he can do everything he can to try to use us or parts of our lives as weapons for his own purposes. I know he can do that. He has done that in my life.
Beth is dedicated to encouraging people to come to know and love Jesus Christ through the study of Scripture. Why wait? Click online today. Pick a podcast or television teaching or both. Just visit BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org, or download the Living Proof app. Search for Beth Moore in your app store. Thanks for listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore.
Would you like your life to be infused with joy? Would you like to interject an eternal dimension into even the most ordinary day? Author Randy Alcorn says you can when you discover the Treasure Principle. In a concise, power-packed style, this newly revised and updated book offers a six-step plan to finding the immediate pleasure and eternal rewards of the Treasure Principle. And once you discover it, life will never look the same. The Treasure Principle is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
It's MoneyWise Live with your host, Rob West, and we're kind of excited about something called the MoneyWise e-Magazine. It's a new quarterly publication we have designed to really help you practically and spiritually on your journey to financial freedom. This magazine contains special podcasts, articles, and stories that'll inspire and challenge you. And the first issue, and I'm not sure who came up with this theme, Rob, certainly wasn't me, but the first issue's theme is embracing financial hope. And interestingly, it really dovetails into what we're experiencing right now, isn't it? Or doesn't it?
Well, it sure does, Steve. And in God's providence, as we were thinking and praying about this first edition late last year, having no idea what would be going on in the world, that was the direction we decided to go. And, you know, that's really at the heart of the gospel related to how we should think about money. What's on God's heart related to money? Well, it is financial hope because it's all his, right? And he entrusts however much or however little to us. And our job is to be found faithful, but ultimately we trust in our creator and provider and sustainer for everything. And we know everything is a gift. And, we have the opportunity just to be a part of what God's doing by joining him in that. And sure. In that is a lot of hope, Steve.
Yeah. And while God is where we put our hope. At the same time, God does provide us with practical principles that he expects us to follow to the best of our ability, which is kind of a, you know, it's hard to know where to just hope and where to be obedient and start doing practical things like having a savings account and not being involved in co-signing loans, things like that. But if we follow both of these and ask God to give us his grace, mercy, and direction, I think things will go well for us economically throughout our lives, with a few ups and downs along the way. All right, let's continue. Coral Springs, Florida. Veronica, thank you for hanging. What's your question today for Rob?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a question. My husband and I, we have a student debt, a student loan debt, and he is $33,000. And he has like 3 to 4% because they are small debts. And I have $53,000 at 6%. So and when they sent me the you know, the estimate how many years I was going to complete to pay it, I was in shock, 21 years. And I said, no way. So we sit in the table, you know, around the table, and we discuss. So we have a plan to pay it in 5 years. So now I was paying both of them the minimum payment, but since January we are paying more. For my is 400, for him is 500. But now I don't know which one do I should pay first, because we were making payments on both, extra payments.
Yeah.
So
sure.
I don't know which one. I did the financial piece, and according to Dave Ramsey, is you know, you pay the small amount, yeah, because it doesn't matter if the interest is little or higher,
sure,
because you finish to pay faster. Now, yeah, I have 13,000 that I have for inheritance that I'm going to have like in this month. So we're talking with my husband. I said, we're putting everything. I don't know which one to put.
Sure.
To put,
well, let me weigh
amount
in on that. You know, I think you ask a great question here, Veronica, and there really are two schools of thought. You can approach this from the smallest to largest balance, which is called the debt snowball. There's also the debt avalanche, which is highest to lowest interest rate. I'd go with the debt snowball here, especially since you're going to compress the time of the payback down to 5 years or less. You're going to find that it's not a whole lot difference in the actual interest paid, and that psychological boost of knocking out that first one of $33,000 quicker is going to give you the momentum to keep going right to the next one. So I'd start with the smallest balance, and we'll be right back.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
The Moody Bible Institute verse of the week during this Memorial Week is found in John 15:12-14. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. That's John 15:12-14, the Moody Bible Institute verse of the week.
We've all been hurt. We've all hurt others. That's why forgiveness is critical for our spiritual and emotional well-being. But how do you forgive when it's hard? In Forgive Your Way to Freedom, Gil Mertz shares his inspiring story of forgiving his difficult and distant father and lays out a practical, biblical process of forgiveness. Learn to forgive and be set free. Forgive Your Way to Freedom. More at moodypublishers.com.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Bad weather has postponed the first launch of NASA astronauts from Florida in 9 years. Two astronauts were set to blast off at 4:33 Eastern, but that launch of the SpaceX rocket has been scrubbed. The next attempt will be Saturday afternoon. Tropical storm Bertha made landfall on South Carolina's coast shortly after it formed earlier today, becoming the second named storm before the official start of this year's Atlantic hurricane season. Several streets in Charleston were flooded as a result. The U.S. is on the cusp of marking at least 100,000 deaths from the coronavirus. Meanwhile, a new poll shows that only half of Americans may be willing to get vaccinated if scientists are successful in developing a vaccine. Stocks finished higher. The Dow gained 553 points today. The NASDAQ was ahead 72. This is SRN News.
Great to have you with us today. It's MoneyWise Live, and speaking of exciting things that are happening live, in fact, there may be people driving in their car right now, Rob, and they're wondering, how did that launch go? You know, we were going to put two guys into space. You're
if they're
Florida
in Florida,
guy,
maybe
so,
they're looking up right now, right?
Exactly. Unfortunately, it didn't happen.
Mission was scrubbed, unfortunately, due to weather. New launch day and time Saturday, this coming Saturday, 3:22 Eastern time. You know, this was big. Obviously, this is the first time we would be initiating a space launch from U.S. soil with astronauts since 2011. If successful, this would be SpaceX's first ever crewed mission in its 18-year history, of course. And, you know, we started the program today talking about goals. Think about the team at SpaceX 18 years ago. Everything has been working toward this day, which is now going to be Saturday, to return American astronauts to space launched from U.S. soil. Pretty exciting day, and we'll certainly be watching on Saturday.
Well, yeah, and this would have been the first commercial flight of men space, with the founder of Tesla being behind all that. Now, you said this would be the first crewed flight. Why is this crewed? Are we using, charcoal and LP gas? What makes this a crewed flight?
It has a crew on board.
Oh, a crew on board. Okay, yeah, I thought maybe we were taking a step back or something to save money, you know, better gas mileage or something like that. This is exciting. Now, listen, we should be taking calls, but you were born and raised in Florida. How many flights have you seen take off?
You know, I've seen a bunch. I've never actually been there to watch it in person, but even in South Florida, you could walk outside and still see it on a clear day. And so I've seen several of them over the years, and never... it never gets old. It's always exciting to watch.
Right, right. Well, as this becomes more commonplace, maybe we could, and I know that you're a man with many contacts, perhaps we could do a broadcast someday from one of the flights as it wings its way to Mars or Saturn or something.
All right, we'll see about that.
You got to think in advance, Rob. You got to be a forward thinker. You got to
like
all
it.
Right. All right, good deal. Moses Lake, Washington. Therese, thank you so much for your patience, and how can we help you?
Therese. Hi, thank you for taking. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about credit card debt. I have an inherited IRA, and when the account was first opened, I was offered a 0% interest on a credit card transfer for 18 months. The promotion ends in June. And so I am looking at options. I called my credit union, and they can offer me a 24-month loan at 2.74%. That is additional equity on my vehicle that I have with them that is actually almost paid off. Or I could take the inherited IRA and put it towards that. And I'm not sure which would be the best route to take.
Yeah. Therese, what did you say was the balance on these credit cards you're trying to pay off?
It's just one, and it's about $8,000.
Okay. And what do you have in the way of surplus? You know, if you were to go back to your budget and you were to really evaluate every line item and try to look for ways to cut back to free up more margin that you could send over and above your minimum payments, what do you think you could send on a monthly basis toward debt reduction?
Well, my vehicle that they want to put, I've actually been paying extra on that. I've been paying about $650 a month. And that I was scheduled to get it paid off in June. So I would have that money to pay.
Okay, about $650 a month.
Right, right.
Okay. You know, I would rather you not do the promotional offer with the 0% transfer just because there's going to be a fee associated with that. And, you know, we tend to get in that balance transfer game unless you're really disciplined. And you may be. And if so, well, I would certainly factor that in. But go ahead.
Just a second. I've already done it. It's been 18 months, and the 18th month is almost up. So I've put nothing more on that card. I transferred it. I paid quite a bit.
I
paid about one third of it off. And so now I want to get that out of that particular situation so that I don't have the 14.99% interest per month.
Sure. And so essentially what's being offered by your credit union is to do a cash out a loan against the car that's scheduled to be paid off, essentially. Is that what they're doing?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's certainly an option. I mean, you have to factor in the term on it. So I would just stay really focused on, you know, continuing to send that $650 a month. Obviously, I prefer $275 over $1499 any day. But you have to realize you're putting your vehicle at risk. You're taking unsecured debt. You're securing it to your vehicle. You've got to make sure you're really disciplined, which is why I would typically not encourage that. But you've already been doing this in terms of putting that extra money. So it seems like you're pretty diligent and you're living within your means, not letting things get out of control. I think the other thing is you just need to consider, are there any costs or charges associated with you know, taking out this new loan against your car and factoring that into perhaps what you are trying to make up in the way of a lower interest rate, because some of those charges obviously is going to eat into the difference. The third option that you have here, and I, by the way, I wouldn't use the IRA. Let's leave that alone. Let it grow. Let's not create a taxable event early if you don't have to. And let's let the market do what it's going to do. And hopefully that's a lot more money down the road. The other option to consider is credit counseling, where this account would be closed. You'd get a lower interest rate than you're probably going to be at once this introductory promotional period ends. And they could set you up on a payment plan to actually pay it off in the same period of time, but with a lower interest rate, and you wouldn't have to take out a new loan. It would just involve closing this account. And so I like that option a lot, and you could explore that at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. So I think that's your homework. Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org, see what they could do for you in terms of interest and the program itself, and then get all of the costs associated with refinancing that car loan and cashing out. But if you do it, just make sure you're really diligent to get it paid off as quick as you can.
Therese, we appreciate your phone call today, and we wish you the best as you work through all that. Sounds like you're on the right road. God bless you. Rob, how about a quick email? We have one here from Aaron. He says, "Dear Rob, I'm 21 with about $7,000 in savings. I work full-time, but I'm not sure about my career path. Where should I start?" And that's all the info we have on that.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And I think, you know, the key here is I'm glad you've been able to save up some money, which is just phenomenal. And you can use that as your kind of financial foundation. I love the fact that you're working. So I think right now you need to start setting some goals and really thinking about what God has for you. And I think part of that, Steve, is really looking at where God may be leading in terms of your skill set. Look at how he's gifted you. What are some of the very specific ways that he has equipped you? What gifts and talents do you have? Perhaps ask those around you that are godly, that can offer trusted counsel. What do they see in you? Around areas that you should perhaps lean into. And I'd love to give you a tool. If you'll stay on the line here, we'll give you a copy of Career Direct, which is a great assessment tool that I think will really help you.
Okay. And if you'd like to...
Even in these uncertain times, you can replace fear with hope. And Michael Blue's new book, Financial Hope, is a hands-on study to help you do just that. A short assessment will show you exactly where you are now. You'll then unlock the four H's of biblical financial wisdom and put your action plan in writing to transform your finances. Right now, request your copy of Financial Hope when you support MoneyWise Live with a gift of $25 or more at moneywiselive.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. We're told in Acts chapter 1, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. He didn't say might be. He said will be my witnesses. And then 1 Timothy 6 tells us to fight the good fight of the faith, to take hold of the eternal life to which you've been called, which you have confessed so well before so many witnesses. So how is that done? Just like the court instructs you to tell in your own words what you saw and heard, or the blind man who said, I was blind and now I see, God's given you a story to tell that allows the power of God to be seen through you. So just tell your story. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone you're with today closer to Jesus. If you want to know how easy that is, go to ROTW.com.
Wow, Liz, I love your new sweater. You look great in mauve.
Oh, thanks, Janet. But actually, it's cranberry. Ah.
Hey, Liz, excuse me for interrupting, but that sweater is definitely cherry.
You're all wrong. I have a sweater the same color, and it's maroon.
Now, hold on just one minute. Huh? It's my sweater, and I say it's cranberry.
Oh.
Cranberry, maroon, mauve, cherry? People tend to see things differently, but we could go back to the manufacturer and discover the true color. Actually, in everything, we can have an opinion, but in each case, there can only be one truth. People seem to think we can all have our own opinion of truth. All roads lead to the same destination. But roads going in different directions don't end up in the same place. If we want to know the truth of where we came from, we too have to go back to the manufacturer. The Bible teaches that we were all created by God, and that the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Taking your calls today on MoneyWise Live. Anything financial you may be wondering about, let's check with God's Word, see what it says. And the guy doing that for you today, obviously, is your host, Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Olive, Connie, stay with us. We're heading in your direction, but first it's Cammie from Fremont, Nebraska. How can we help you?
Yes, I was calling in regards to the stimulus package to find maybe you guys would have some information. I get Social Security disability, and it comes on my debit card. And I had went into the non-filers on the IRS website and added my two dependents. And I did it before the date. I think it was April 27th. It said it had to be due by. And then I sent it off. And when I checked on it, it said, you know, successful or, you know, said it was on its way, and then it had the last digits were of my debit card. So I was expecting the stimulus package for myself as the adult, $1,200. And then I have two dependents I had on there that live with me. and that would have been $500 each. And I looked on the website. I don't know if this is something that's just done happened or I'm not going to receive it. I didn't know if maybe you guys would have any information. I've tried to call the IRS and tried to email them, and I haven't heard been able to get a hold of anyone on it.
Sure.
So that's my question.
Yeah, very good. Well, obviously, these checks are going out in earnest. Last check I saw, you know, over 100 million people had already received them. So there's a lot of checks that have been sent out. Clearly, you followed the right steps. You know, as somebody on Social Security, a non-filer, that was the reason for the portal that was set up, which obviously expired April 22nd. But if you got in there before that to input your dependents, you should have then qualified yourself for that $500 per child benefit for dependents. In the event somebody didn't get that information in the portal, you'd have to file a 2020 return because that would be the only way to get that information to the government. But given that you've already done that, I would just check back on the website to see if anything has changed. I know that it's been a pretty fluid situation, but I suspect, Cammy, that you are going to yet to receive that. There are still many folks who have not gotten their information, especially when the debit card was involved. Many of those are just now coming out. So as long as you've followed the right steps, which it sounds like you have, I think it's just a waiting game at this point.
Okay. Cammy, I appreciate.
Did you file a tax return for 2020, Cammy?
No. I was told that I did not need to because I received a disability payment.
Ah, okay. All right. Just wondering if that could be a wrinkle there. But, well, listen, if you don't hear anything back or you don't receive anything in the mail in a few weeks, feel free to call us back and we'll check into it further if we can, all right?
All right. Thank you, guys, and God bless you.
Thanks very much. We appreciate that. All right, down to Fort Myers. Olive, thank you so much for your patience. And what's your situation
there?
Thanks
for taking my call.
Sure. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm 83 years old. I just, you know, lost my husband to Alzheimer's, which also cost me a lot of money. Anyway, I have $70,000, about $75,000 in investment and about $7,000 in savings. Now, my daughter, who lives in Texas and got a job back with the post office, she was with them before, wants to buy a house. And I would like to help her, and you know, she'll get a place that I can live too. I just didn't know if that would be a good idea. I don't want to pay rent because I always feel rent is paying someone else's mortgage, but I don't have enough to really buy a house itself without, you know. So I just wanted, you know, what do you think about me, you know, getting in with her with the house, and I have somewhere to live. And when I get older, I'm 83, if I need, you know, physical help, she'll help me. I also have long-term care insurance, which will take care of my, you know, if I have to go to an assisted living or anything like that. I do have that, so I'm not worried about that. And I get like $1,600 a month social. So I just wondered if it would be a good idea.
Yes. You know, I like this option as long as we think through all of the different pieces of it, Olive. Would you all be buying the house together, or would you buy it and then she pays you some rent, or what are you thinking?
Well, you know, I thought let her buy it. I'm 83 years old, and she doesn't want me to have an obligation to or get into any problem. She has made a lot of mistakes, just like all of us have, and especially I have, with real estate. And I just feel like I would like to at least co-sign with her. Let her be the owner and I the co-signer. And she doesn't want me to put any of my money in, but I wouldn't mind doing that to make the mortgage a little less. So she's looking and, you know, getting information from USD loans if she can get a loan for the house. And she thought they're ready to say she would, but, you know, you still have to wait. So I just wondered, I won't have any extra money to spend, but I don't really need anything except I do like to travel. And I do use my American Express to travel and pay it, you know, before I leave.
Sure.
I just wondered if what that sounds like to you.
Yeah.
I used
so
to
if
say
she were
I
to buy it,
by myself.
Sure. Say that last part again.
I have always said I want to live by myself because I didn't want to live with any children. But after living in this crummy apartment here, which was the only thing I could get when I sold my house, we sold in one day, I got the apartment without seeing it, and I really need to leave here because it's not conducive to my health or my well-being.
Hmm. Yeah.
So I would like
Let
to
me
have
ask
a
you
place.
This.
And I thought I could buy a townhouse, but I don't want to do that either.
Now, you said she would actually be the one buying it. You would help her by co-signing. Would you be paying her to live there, or is she essentially just going to let you live there?
No, not necessarily. I would help, but there would not be any demand on me to help her.
Yes.
I've helped her for years with, you know, financially, and she's sort of trying to pay me back by helping me now. And I would like to help her also.
Yeah. Well, I like this a lot, Olive, you know, in the sense that you're co-signing, but I think the difference here is that you're not just helping her get into her place without the ability or the understanding that you may need to step in. The difference is she's trying to bless you, bringing you in to live with her. You're not going to be expected to contribute toward the mortgage. She's going to qualify for that, assuming, you know, she's got a budget and this all works within her budget. The only consideration would be, you know, if something goes awry, she were to have a loss of income, making sure that, you know, she has the proper reserves and so forth. But I think you helping her get into it, recognizing that you are taking and assuming that responsibility with her, her best intentions are that she's going to carry that. Obviously, if something happened, you may need to step in, but it's a place you're living as well. And so I think from that standpoint, as long as you're not helping her buy too much house that she really can't afford, I think, you know, this plan is good. It gets you there with your family. She can perhaps help, and you'll enjoy, you know, not being in your apartment, not being by yourself. And so I think this is a great plan. Let me just offer in conclusion, though, our MoneyWise coaches may be able to help just run through the numbers with you and your daughter to make sure she's not getting overextended. And you can connect with one of those folks at MoneyWiseLive.org.
That's right, moneywiselive.org. And Olive, we're glad that you called today and hope that that works for you and your daughter. Thanks. Indianapolis, Connie, we just have a little bit of time. What's your situation?
My husband, thank you for your show. My husband's 77 and I'm 74, and we just lost 45% of our financial investments. And now I wonder what we should be doing next.
Yeah, Connie, I'm so sorry to hear that. Tell me more about that. I'm a little perplexed as to why your investments will be down so significantly. I mean, the market is down after the significant recovery we've had. It was down, you know, about 35% plus, but, you know, the Dow Jones is only down 12% on the year. The S&P 500 is down a little less than 9%. Why do you think you've lost so much?
I don't know, because we have a financial advisor, and I really don't even look at it. But I called him after the crash, and he said we lost 45%.
Okay. Well, I suspect a couple of things. Number one is I suspect you're not down anywhere close to that now, assuming you didn't sell out after the sharp declines that we saw in the month of March, assuming you didn't, you know, go to cash or something like that. The market has recovered significantly. I mean, it's up 1,000 points just in the last 2 days. And again, we're back above 25,000 on the Dow, and the market has recovered in a significant way. And so I suspect the losses are not anywhere near that. But number two is, given your age, I would just, as this market recovers and as you recoup some of these paper losses, and by the way, that's what those are. They're not actual losses unless you sell. And so as these accounts recover, I would be visiting with that advisor not only now to confirm how much are we down and making sure it's commensurate with, you know, what the overall market's doing and your strategy, but then two, are you invested in the proper things, given your age and your goals and objectives? You know, because normally at age 70, you know, we would see not more than probably, you know, 30% in stocks, which would mean it could be as much as 70% in fixed income, bonds, CDs, that should be relatively stable. And so that would weather kind of these ups and downs that you would see when you're growing your capital, but not when you're trying to preserve your capital or generate income from it. So it could be that not now, but once this market recovers, it makes sense for you all to reposition your assets. And you may want to get a second opinion. If you you could visit with any number of certified Kingdom advisors there in Indianapolis just to give you a second or third opinion on your situation. And to connect with one of those folks, just go to moneywiselive.org and click on Find a CKA. But I'd get some more information about where you stand, and then perhaps as it recovers, look at repositioning and look at perhaps whether or not it's in order to make a change.
Well, this is an unfair question, but We're separated by 40 or 50 miles, so I'll ask it anyway. Okay. At their ages, 73, 74, and 77, I think she said, where should their money be if they're in the stock market, or where should it not be?
Well, I think it's all about the allocation. How much is in stocks versus how much is in fixed income? And at 70, you wouldn't have more than 30% typically in stocks.
Okay, great information from Rob West. And so great to have you with us today on the program. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thanks to Judy, Jim, Clara, and Courtney for their technical assistance today. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of MoneyWise Live.